Turn on your cell phones. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tongue on this terrestrial and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all.
Thank you, darling. Appreciate it. Thank you, honey. Scott. All right, wonderful good morning to you. Glad to have that wonderful singing by everybody who sang. We in your way, anything? All right. How many here for the first time? Could we see your hand just to say hey to you? Thank you. Thank you. Over here, look at here. Thank you so much. We're glad that you'd share your vacation with us. Carolyn and Bernie's preacher from Greenwood and his wife, Mr. and Miss Sandy Scott. Right here, stand up and let them see you, brother. That's good, that's good. Got me surrounded by preachers this morning, so I better not get out of this book, had I? All right. The Notes by Miss Greenway. Hope you all had a safe and fun Fourth. That's so sweet for you to do. We were on the porch last night watching the fireworks display, and we enjoyed that. Now, I know you did Wednesday, but we got a guy who celebrates the 7th of July. Nobody knows why. He just does, and we watch him, and he's happy, and we are. So, all right. Man came up after church last Sunday and said, I want to thank you for saving my life. And I didn't do nothing for you. He said, yes, you did. Said, I was dying. And my grandmother gets the CDs here and sent them to me at the hospital, and you pulled me through. And I said, well, it wasn't me. It was the Lord Jesus. But remember how important those CDs are, that they go out to people. And it is some people, that is their church. They can't get out. They can't go anywhere. And they listen to it. Got a few closet preachers listen to it when nobody's around, and we won't call their name. Ed Tindall is in the hospital at room 1230. 1230 at Grand Strand. I'll get up to see him this afternoon. If you have in the area and can, please do. If not, you can drop a card. Ed is the one who encouraged us to start a little group here, and we did, and it grew to what you see today. And Ed is, I don't know how old Ed is, close to 80, I guess, but very, very weak. He comes here when he can, but there's no illness. He's just so weak, the doctor put him in the hospital. So that tells us enough to pray for him. Melissa said, please pray for him, as we will. But this time, let's let 300 cards get in there this week, if no other time. Just said Ed Tindall a card. Just sign it or put love you, miss you, whatever you want to put. But let's let him get 300. And I said, well, what if 300 people don't do it? Then 150 of you do it twice. Let's get 300 cards in there this week. Okay? Thank you. Glad to have that. Hope you had a happy 4th, 5th, 6th, or 7th, whichever one you shot your firecracker on. We had a wonderful time. This morning we're privileged to have Reverend Charles Randall with us. Come on, Brother Randall, if you will. And Brother Randall is certainly a brother in Christ, wonderful Pentecostal preacher. So if you don't have a seat belt, I'd get it on right now. And he's going to lead us in prayer. and we could go home, but Ann won't give me any of the money if we do that. So, you know, we're going to start having Charles. He starts at 11, so he can come visit with us, and he starts, he said, between 7 and 8. A lot of his people work and don't get off at night. How do we get to the church exactly? Take a left at the Little River Diner. Is the road this side of it going that way?
This side
of the Little River Diner. Take a left. How far will we go down?
One block.
One block on the
right.
Right will be the church. And it'll start around 7 or 8. If you get there too early, you can sing and pray and dance around, do whatever you want to do. But we need to support Charles. Wonderful man of God, wonderful preacher. Got about 35 people. And don't mean to make you be ashamed, but collected $250,000 to carry to the hungry in Africa. He don't like you bragging on it. But he's a brother in Christ, and we asked him to pray to open us up the service today and to fill me with some of the spirit he's got so I can pass it on to you.
Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you. We praise you, Lord, for this time, O God. God, we thank you for another day that you have given us, O God, to come out today, O God, and just share one with another, O God. God, we know today that we are all here for a purpose, O God. We know that this day has been ordained by you, Lord. God, and we pray now that you touch every heart, O God. God, that's in this place on today, O God. God, we lift up your man servant on today, O God, that you will use him in a way like you have never used him before, O God. God, anoint him afresh today, O God. God, that your word might go forth with power and with understanding, O God. And every person will leave today changed in this place, O God. God, we lift up our brother that's in the hospital on today. God, for your word is not restricted, O God. And God, we send your word now, God. God, for you said that you sent your word and it healed and it delivered, O God. And we so stand on your word today, O God, that we will hear the testimony of Brother Ed on today. And God, we just give you glory. We honor you. We give you praise. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Said he's feeling bad. Sometimes he gets excited. And wasn't feeling well this morning. He'll be all right. Oh, boy. Not hard to tell those who really know him, is it? All right. If you will turn in the book of Revelation to chapter 3, verse 14. Thank you for coming out this morning, sharing your vacation with us. Those of you who are on vacation, those of you who are regular, we thank you for being here every Sunday. You don't say much to regular folk, do you? Not enough. We just appreciate you being here and what you do and how you help. I saw one writing a check a while ago to put in the briefcase, and I said, thank you for that. And he said, oh, it's nothing. I said, fine, add another zero. It's nothing. Add another nothing to that. We'll take it. All right, so we find it, verse 14 in Revelation 3. Pardon me. And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea to write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. The English version of that is puke. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that thy shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. So here we find a call to be hot or cold, or as we say, remove thyself from the pot. This is about indifference. Indifference is the curse of our generation. It's the curse of our nation right now. It's the curse of the world. My son was talking to me a couple of weeks ago, and he said, Dad said, the difference between the opposite of love is not hate. And I said, well, what is it? He said, the opposite of love is indifference. And I thought about that a long time. He was right. And when you hate somebody, there's still emotion there. There's still a contact there. Maybe a wish for repentance and reconciliation there. But when you get to the point of indifference, it's all cut. It's all gone. And we celebrate the 4th of July and the independence and the freedoms that we have, and we celebrate them greatly, as my lawyer friend over here prayed. What a wonderful prayer. That we celebrate what we have gained, but today I'm going to go through a few things we have lost because of indifference. Because of indifference. So when I asked someone, said, the problem with our nation is ignorance and apathy. Guy said, I don't know and I don't care. And that is the philosophy of the majority of people in America today. Because of our apathy and because of our indifference, we've lost some things to the point that they can't come back. And we try to pray them back, and we try to do right as good people back, and we have faith that some of them might can come back, but there comes a point, as the Lord Jesus just said, be hot or cold, and if you get cold, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Lukewarm is the temperature of spit. The word there literally means vomit. I will vomit you out of my mouth. Get off the fence. Either get in or get out. Either be for me or be against me, is what the Lord Jesus said. There's no middle ground with him. There's no gray areas with him. And we find that because of our indifference, and we're not jumping on you, this circle right here is where we started at. I'm right in the middle of it. Because of our indifference, we have lost our schools. We've lost our education system. It started as just letting a few start a union, turning your school room, your school class over to the federal government. I knew a lady who 50 years ago told her PTA meeting, the school board meeting she attended, do not take that free milk from the government. They were going to supplement the lunch program by giving free milk. She said, do not take it. They said, oh, it'll save us so much. They said, do not take free milk from the government. Once you take something free from them, they will gradually give you more, and then they will call it all in, and they will own you. That is where we are now. You can mark the decline of our school system from the day the Bible was thrown out and said, take your God with you. All right? You can mark. When I was in high school, doesn't seem that long ago. In years it was, but in memory it was yesterday. The big offenses were running in the hall, talking in class, chewing gum. These were the biggies that you got sent to the principal for doing. Today it is murder, rape, and bringing a gun to school. Something happened. What happened was the indifference of people who turned their children and their minds over to strangers and didn't even bother to inquire what those strangers were putting in the minds of their kids. The lowest attended thing at any school when we were coming up and today is PTA, because nobody cares. Nobody bothered to look. I remembered when my brother, who's 3 years my elder, and 900 times as smart as me. Came home from school in Anderson, South Carolina, with a dinosaur picture. He quickly took a letter back to that teacher from my daddy. Don't you teach my child that he wasn't created by God. Don't you tell him it was anything different than as the gospel, as the book of Genesis says it is. If I see one more piece of paper like this come to my home, you will see me in your office. I wondered how many more letters were sent. Evidently not many. We've lost our colleges to the secular humanist. Did you know that you cannot get a PhD in fields of science unless you conform to evolution? It won't be issued to you. You can't get it. The lock they have on our children's minds shows in our local newspaper. I wouldn't have printed it. They were so glad they had got a new guard dog at North Myrtle Beach High, where he could walk through the classrooms and sniff out drugs. I wouldn't have told anybody. I'd have just kept that secret. That's nothing to be proud of. That's a total shame. We have good teachers, good Christian teachers, who want to change that. If they do, it's at the peril of their paycheck. They can do nothing about it. Through indifference, we lost the complete education system from nursery school through graduate school. Through pornography and allowing it to overtake our nation, we lost our decency. Of all the things the framers of the Declaration of Independence thought, and how wise they were when they drew up that document, and what great minds did so, it never occurred to them we would lose our decency. So it started small, nothing big, just cutting off a little here and a little there, just a few jokes on the television and radio, off color. Red Skelton was probably the greatest comedian who ever lived. Red Skelton made a career of telling stories with no curse words. Red Skelton never said anything that you couldn't take a six-year-old to see his show. It's gone from there to over 300,000 pornographic websites on your computer today. 300,000. Our Supreme Court, supposed to be nine of the wisest people in our country and guide our country, said we don't know what pornography is, but we recognize it when we see it. And I said, yeah, and I don't know what a fool is, but I recognize one when I see one. They used to say pornography was something you wouldn't want to look at while your mother was sitting by your side. That was when we were in high school. Then the, what's them names in books you take, Sam? Playboy, Hustler. Those books who have filthiest pictures you can ever imagine in them now have the mother of the girl telling how proud she is of her daughter for doing that. And through the indifference of not caring, now it's perfectly proper come down here Saturday afternoon naked. You mean, I don't know, I quit coming. I'd seen enough, thank you. Said nobody down here on Saturday will be allowed to hide Easter eggs come April because they can't put nothing out of sight. Right. 1954, I stood at Myrtle Beach at the old pavilion on the corner. Saw a girl try to wear a bikini. The police came, wrapped her in a beach towel, put her in the back seat, and took her downtown. Well, that's a little strict, isn't it? Well, look where it's gotten us now. Look where it's gotten us now. And those of you who are married know things were better when Victoria had a secret. Were they not? I tell my son, I don't know how y'all date today. There's no more romance, flowers and candy. You don't do that anymore. First of all, everybody has to take the clothes off to make sure what gender they are. You don't know who you're dating anymore. Right. Then you have to show your latest AIDS test. Make sure that you're not carrying a disease that could kill somebody. I mean, by the time you get ready to go to the movie or wherever you're going, it's you know, it's over. It's the jaded. It's over. I said, y'all don't have any surprises. Nothing to look forward to. How sad that is. How sad that is. The travel agencies are right. Getting there is half the fun. We're grown. And it comes time when you open your newspaper. I commend the Mormons. You don't run pictures of people in their underwear in Salt Lake City paper. Mormons don't allow that. They don't have that. That's indecent. J.C. Penney, who started the department store empires, had 2,000 stores. Bless his heart, good Christian man. Paid himself $1 a store every Monday. That's all he took out for himself. He had curtains on his windows so you couldn't even window shop on Sunday. And now Sunday's the biggest shopping day of the week for some stores. Well, we just don't have time. You have 24 hours a day like everybody else. You didn't use it correctly. I love it when one says, I don't have time to come to church. Think you'll have time to go to hell? Because they're going to let you take time. Time going to be in charge of somebody else. The apathy about drugs. Remember in 54 down here, somebody'd get a handful of bennies at the local drugstore, and it'd keep you awake and where you could jitterbug and raise cane all night. And that was a big deal. People who were on cocaine and heroin, marijuana, were in jail already. You didn't do that. My daddy, when he was young, was a detective in Detroit. Taught me as a little boy. Said one shot of heroin hook you for life. For life. I got friends who have taken cocaine, sold cocaine, done everything else with cocaine. One of them said, Beaver, cocaine isn't of the devil. It is the devil. I got good friends that have lost their ability to reason because they thought they'd try that. I've got some that went on a trip and didn't know it was one way. They didn't come back. They're a head on a stick is what we call them. Just walking around, talking and babbling. Well, you see, it's just a little relaxation. No, it isn't. It's a hook of Satan that'll draw you deeper and deeper. And one day, it will own you instead of you owning it. Well, I just don't see that. I just, you know, smoke a little joint every now and then. Then you, my friend, are part of the drug trade. And you should be ashamed of yourself, of the death and destruction you're helping cause. Indifference. Indifference towards divorce. We lost our family sense. If I asked how many people sit down to eat supper with your family in here tonight on a daily basis, there wouldn't be many hands going up. Rarely will you find a whole family in one place during the week at any one given time. Rarely does someone call their family to the table and say, we'll read a verse of scripture and then we shall pray. who has some problems that we can pray for. Rarely do you see that anymore. You can ask people, what night did your family get together and kind of just have a family time? Oh, we don't do that. We don't do that. So we have lost our sense of family. Mayberry is gone. And we're the worse off for it. There are people who live in the northern areas of our country, nice people, who see Mayberry and Andin, Aunt B and all of them, you know, and little Opie. And they see all that and they say, boy, what a program. What writers did they have? Weren't they wonderful? Longest running sitcom that there's ever been. It's running right now somewhere in the world. Everybody loved Mayberry. Everybody loved Andy and Barney. Everybody loved that program. Those who didn't live in the South don't understand it wasn't a program. Those were our neighbors. I've been in those houses. I've talked to that sheriff. I knew Otis. Right. Didn't you? And we lost that way of life. Now you have bars on your windows, steel doors, ADT signs in the yard. You see, we figured somebody ought to be locked up. There's so much crime. Somebody ought to be confined. So I'll make it me. I'll go to jail. So now our home has become a prison cell for us and our family. How sad. I remember when if you trespassed on a man's farm or stepped in his front yard with ill will in your heart, you'd be offered the count of three. And I wouldn't chance it past two because that shotgun he had was going to go off. It was a good way. The burglaries in South Carolina have raised. North Carolina, they've gone down. Because they finally made it in North Carolina, you break in a man's house while he's in there asleep, it's the death penalty. Please don't tell me that doesn't ward off any intentions you have. The morals we lost. We were a moral country. Then we became an immoral country. And now we are an amoral country. Don't have any. Our heroes are people who break the law and spit in our face. Our heroes are the folks from Hollywood who wouldn't have a sense of morality if you wrote it out, packaged it up, and handed it to them. These are held up as the examples for our children to follow. This is what they're supposed to do. We lost our base of goodness through indifference and saying, no, you're not going to bring that into our town. No, you're not going to bring that into our living rooms. We won't buy your goods. We won't visit your store. We will stop this. Through indifference, the Church of Jesus Christ lost its base of goodness. All we had to do was to show up at the 7-Eleven and say, we're going to just stand here and drink Coca-Colas 24-7 in shifts till you get that off your bookshelf. I guarantee you a call would have been made to Jacksonville, Florida, and they'd have tore that stuff up. That would have been the last of it. Now it's become community standard, and all of us can't get it out. Not anymore. What a shame for visitors to come down here to the lovely beach to have a good time, and they're greeted by naked women at these joints down the street. What a shame. Well, they just did. Now they're not. Get out there in the parking lot when the show's over and entertain some of the offers you'll be made. Please. Are you blind? Why would you have that go on? Did you know the average age of a hooker in the United States of America is 13? 13, you should be home in your bed at 9 o'clock. Where's mom? Where's dad? Well, we both have two jobs apiece. Why is that necessary? Well, you see, we just had to have the larger house. and the newer car and the bangles and the beads. And we had to have more money to do that. But what you lost was your children through indifference, just not caring enough. The churches of America now are empty. There's some large denominations considering merging right now. The reason they're going to merge, the membership has gone down. They've built huge buildings and can't pay for them. They thought maybe they would tickle each other's ears and preach a non-gospel gospel and just go down and have a big time and not cover the bases that should be covered and not warn people of the wrath to come and not tell them that Jesus is coming soon and not call sin, sin. And people would flow in because you wouldn't hurt their feelings. And we'd have a candy cane powder puff religion, and we'll have a big building, and we'll even flash the lights every now and then, and we'll just be part of the scene. And now you're left dry, undone, no gospel. And I can take you to Baptist churches, not picking on the good Baptist, that have filled their baptistry with dirt and planted roses in them, because it's been years since somebody came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ because of what went across their pulpit. Indifference. Don't care. It's not my problem. We even have a group, some of my friends are in it. Started a little program down here, a little social club. Named it that. It's not my problem. Yeah, it is. It's yours and it's mine. Because of lack of personal concern, indifference of whether your friends, relatives went to heaven or hell, we're losing friends and family eternally because we didn't speak up when we had the opportunity. We didn't care enough to bring them to church and not jumping on those of you do because of you. You fill the place up. God bless you. May your tribe increase. But the times you had a chance to witness to somebody and just say, why don't you take a look at what Jesus said? Why don't you take a look at the facts? Let me take you to a place where they'll tell you the other side. Then you make your choice. I'm not trying to make the choice for you. Just come and just listen and see if there isn't a difference in the people you meet. Hear of people who were dying, who aren't now, who were drug addicts, who aren't now, who are alcoholics, who aren't now, who were wife abusers, who aren't now, and find out what cures that. It's not a 12-step program. It's a one-step program, and it goes, come unto me, ye who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And you step forward and say, it's me, Jesus. It's me. I remember the old song we used to sing as kids in the tent meeting. It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord. Standing in the need to pray. It's not my mother, it's not my brother, it's me, oh Lord. Standing in the need of prayer. It's me. It's not him, it's not her, it's me. Who needs your prayer? It's me who needs holding up. It's me who needs strength to go on. It's me that needs to hear the gospel story over and over and over and over. Say, well, I know it now. Great, tell somebody. But our indifference to friends and relatives and people we know, our indifference will allow that person to die without Jesus and let them go to hell. I promise you it will. No concern. Our indifference toward the study of the Word of God is the reason why churches are weak. We hold Bible study out here at the restaurant on the highway. 7 o'clock on Monday. We'll be there this Monday. The 4th of July people, they'll be out of here by tonight. And I'm thankful for everybody that comes. We give about an hour's worth of teaching. In-depth teaching, college level, Bible college level teaching. 30 show up. out of 400. Proud for every one of them. I bought $2,000 worth of evidence Bibles out of my own pocket and gave them to people to come and learn what was in the book. And 30 come. I don't want the Bible back. I want you to have it. But won't you come listen and find out what's in it? Well, I work and I don't. We kid Tracy. Tracy has a hard job. He's in the elevator business and has to move steel and heavy things and greasy things. And he's in that hole that you ride up and down. He's the one that does that. Every Monday night he'll be there. Filthy. Head to toe, covered with dirt, covered with grease. No time to go home, take a shower. But time to drive 50 miles and break the speed limit where he can be at Bible study on time. I don't say nothing to him when I see him. Just grin and say, all right, there's a good one. There's a good one. See. Well, I just don't have time. Already covered it. You got 24 hours a day like everybody else. If we were giving away new cars, you'd be there. Right? Absolutely. See, we giving away more than that. We giving away the wisdom and knowledge of God. Free. And because of our indifference, when somebody says, give me a reason for the hope that's within you, why do you say you're a Christian? 99% of the church in America turns into Porky Pig. Beep, 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 beep. Well, you see, beep, beep. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? Thank God for Franklin Graham. I watched Billy last night when he was young. What a good one. Franklin was on before with a program they got putting into kids, Dare to be a Daniel. Teaching children how to take information and witness to their friends at school, at recess, at the ball game, everywhere else. You see, our indifference has caused most people to be ashamed of Jesus Christ. Indifference. Indifference. The homeless, we try to help a few. We can't help everybody. There's social programs to care for that. But thank you for those who bring the groceries on Sunday. Thank you for those who put money in to help the little children eat, have clothes and shoes. We appreciate that. Every dime, not jumping on your case. But when there's 400 people here and 25 bags of groceries, do the math. Somebody don't care. Indifference. Not a hateful thing. You say, I hate them kids. I'm not feeding them. That isn't it. It's indifference. Not caring when it went. That's worse. If you hate them, at least you thought about them. If you're indifferent, they just go without food. And can we make a difference? I can bring a man right up here. I wouldn't embarrass him. Wouldn't have to. Wouldn't embarrass him. He'd be glad to come. Came off the street, and we took him in. Got him a place to live, got him food to eat and clothes to wear. And to pick him up downtown and bring him down here. Friends laughing at him, cursing him because he was coming. He stuck to it. Turned his whole life around. Whole life around. Do you understand that if that's all we did, it's worth our being here? The worth of one soul, according to the Bible, is worth more than all the riches in the entire world. And through indifference, the churches continue to be empty. We were indifferent about AIDS. As a result, millions of people around the world are dying. Africa, 50% of the people have AIDS. Instead of saying, let's stop it and find out what causes it, and I can pretty well stop it with five or six words that I won't say here, but we know what the problem is. could be stopped. Instead, we glorify it. Don't hold 24-hour sessions of godless musicians playing and half of them on drugs while they're singing, no doubt, to raise money to help something when you could be trying to stop something. How sad that one man would bring that to our country. Get to the abortion issue. Well, that's a matter of free choice. Not according to God, it isn't it? He said, thou shalt not kill. One of my best friends in the world had an abortion when she was young. Her niece called her not long ago and said, I'm looking for some advice and I'm thinking about having an abortion. And she said, well, I've been there and done that. And I'm just going to leave one thought with you. Whichever way you go, it'll be a life sentence. It'll be a life sentence. Some of you been there, done that. Don't say, well, she did that. No, somebody put it there. You were equally as guilty. Well, it's my body. No, it isn't. You are the nurturing center. It's the baby's body. He's the only one who didn't get a vote. But God in his goodness will even forgive that. Good news, if you've had an abortion and lost, you can get saved this morning and see your long-lost baby one day. He's not lost. God's got him. And yet we praise those who run those businesses. How sad. We lost the teaching of the second coming of Christ, so we've lost our expectancy. When I was coming up as a child and do it as an old man every morning, I say, good morning, Lord. Thank you for the safety of the night, for me and my family. And may this be the day you return. And I've lived with that expectancy for 70 years. Well, isn't that a long time? You think maybe he's not coming? Do you know how long 70 years is in the eternity of God? It's a grain of sand in that sea. I have a forever contract with the Lord of glory. I'm not going to be indifferent towards him. Indifference towards hell has removed our fear of God. Average man doesn't fear God anymore. That's why sins are prevalent. Oh, nothing's going to happen. I've been doing this for years. Nobody got me. God isn't in your time box. He sits outside of it. He's got plenty of time to wait on you to stand before him in judgment. And this book is about the love of God. Well, just preach the love of God. I am. Let me tell you what the love of God keeps you from. Read Revelation 16 and 17 when you get home. This book is about avoiding the wrath to come. That's what it's about. Then my goodness, yes. We don't talk about heaven anymore. It's become a myth and a story and a pie in the sky religion. And, you know, no. It's a place. I know people there. Thanks to the goodness of God, I've had the privilege of leading people there. Thanks to be the goodness of God, every member of my family, my brother, my dad, my mom, Miss Ann, little Scott, know we have a home in glory. We have a place with the Savior. We shall be in his presence forever. It's not the thought of the new theme park out on the highway that keeps me going. I don't need another merry-go-round, a Ferris wheel, and a cotton candy It's the knowledge that one day, live or die, I shall see my Savior face to face. In theology, we call that the beatific vision. Me and Brother Charles are going to call it the time to shout. Amen. Because of indifference towards salvation, if you are not a Christian, you lost yours. And will stand before a just, holy, and righteous God and give an account for every sin you ever committed. And he's going to give you time to give the answer of why you shouldn't go to hell. And when you dig in your toes in the dirt in front of the judgment seat with nothing to say and no lawyer to call on, you'll realize you blew it. You lost your opportunity of salvation. You see, we have fun and laugh and enjoy the fellowship here. This is the most serious thing that takes place on this beach Sunday morning. Amen. Amen. What we do here is eternally important. Doesn't last a week or an hour. It lasts an eternity. See, if you don't know him, and these things are coming about us because of your and my indifference, what a good day to change. What a good day. Isn't it sad to know, when you know the scriptures, the Lord Jesus Christ himself answered every one of those things in one sentence. And we were indifferent. He said, raise up your children in the way they should go. And when they are old, they won't depart from it. One sentence covered all that. What a God. What a Savior. If you don't know him this morning as we sing and pray, you simply call on him. Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. No use to get out the list. Me and you both know it. I just need to be forgiven. Please forgive me. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you came and died on Calvary's cross. You shed your blood for the sins of mankind, including mine. You were buried and rose again the third day, and you're coming again to set up your kingdom. I want to be part of that. I'm a soul who will live forever. Today, I want to make sure it's in your presence. Please, Jesus, as I sit here, change my life and save me, and I promise on the authority of the inerrant, infallible, indestructible Word of God that he will do his part. Shall we pray? Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, how good it is to know we have one. That we don't sit in the indifference of not having a God to worship or not having a book to read about him. Not having the time to come and worship him and sing praises to him and let the people know and let them know where we stand by the fact that we're here. If we still come, still proud to hear the word of God and still proud to wear the label Christian and still proud to say, yes, he's a friend of mine. Yes, he's my Savior. Yes, he died for me. If there's not one here who doesn't know you, would not you, the Spirit of God, as you meet with us today, stop and pull on that heart just one more time? There's some here who have neglected you through indifference for 50 years. Let's put a stop to that today. Please, Lord, tug on their heart and let them see that it's me. It's me, oh Lord, who's standing in the need of prayer. In Christ Jesus' lovely name I pray. And for his sake, amen.